Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We are approaching Christmas, a season that is marked by Jesus. Jesus is arguably the most consequential person that has ever walked on earth. In the past 2,000 years, billions of people have chosen to follow him. That's quite a feat. That is quite a feat, very amazing, when you consider that Jesus was not born into a privileged family. He had no formal education. He was not even a powerful man in his own days. Yet, his teachings have inspired billions of people in the past 2,000 years. Jesus means different things to different people. For me, Jesus can be summarized in three words: hope, love, and forgiveness. I see Jesus as advocating hope, love, and forgiveness. That's what Jesus means to me. And when I celebrate Jesus, I celebrate what he stood for: hope, love, and forgiveness, which are three ingredients of happiness, three ingredients of salvation. In our Quran study session today, I would like to honor Jesus by talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a very broad topic. It is discussed in religion as well as psychology. The Quran, the Bible, and the other sacred scriptures are full of references to forgiveness. And in the past few decades, psychologists have also come to realize the importance of forgiveness for mental health. Today, inshallah, I will present what religion teaches about forgiveness, and more specifically, what Islam teaches. I typically draw upon Rumi's wisdom in my talks, but today I will swap Rumi for Hafiz. Hafiz, as many of you know, is one of the most celebrated Iranian poets, and he is an original and deep thinker. Hafiz is truly original. He's a very deep thinker. My talk today will be a bit theoretical, and I hope I'm not going to turn you off. But theory is important. Theory is important because it shapes our understanding. Theory shapes our mindset. You cannot practice forgiveness day in and day out in your life unless you have the right mindset. You have a mindset that lends itself to forgiveness. But inshallah, next time I will discuss forgiveness from a more practical point of view, how forgiveness can be applied in real life situations. So that's going to be, inshallah, the topic for my sermon next time. So let's begin. The English word forgiveness is rendered in Farsi language as guzasht, bakhshish. In the Quran, the concept of forgiveness is expressed in three words, not one, but three words we have in the Quran for forgiveness, or guzasht and bakhshish in Farsi. What are those three words? Af, maghfirah, safaha. But for the purpose of my talk today, we don't need to be too concerned with the distinctive usages of af, maghfirah, and safaha in the Holy Quran. Just have in mind the broad concept of forgiveness in the Quran. In the Quran, forgiveness گذشت، بخشش takes two primary forms. The first form of forgiveness is God's forgiveness of sin. God's forgiveness of sin. In religion, forgiveness is intimately connected to the concept of sin. Let me repeat one more time, because much of what I have to say today is going to be centered around this notion that I just shared with you. In world religions, in Islam, in Christianity, Zoroastrianism, forgiveness is intimately connected with the concept of sin or gunah. More on sin in a few minutes. So, the first form of forgiveness in the Quran has to do with forgiveness of sin by God. When we disobey God and then repent, God has assured us that He will forgive our sin. That's what we find in chapter 39, verse 53. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. God says, O my servants who have harmed yourselves by your own excess, do not lose hope. Do not lose hope of God's mercy. God forgives all sins. He is truly the most forgiving, the most merciful. This verse is one of my favorites in the Quran. Remember at the beginning I said what I said about Jesus and what Jesus means to me? Hope, love, forgiveness. All three of those appear in this verse. La taqnatu. Don't lose hope. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Don't lose hope of God's mercy, God's love. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. God forgives all sins. So this is the first form of forgiveness in the Holy Quran. But forgiveness has a second form as well. This second form involves one person forgiving another person. This is the challenge that the Quran makes to us. Chapter 24, verse 22. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Pardon and forgive. Don't you wish that God should forgive you? God is most forgiving and merciful. So God is full of love and mercy for wrongdoers. That's why He forgives them when they go back to Him. Godly people should do the same. Forgiveness is divine. Forgiveness is divine. Forgiveness is a sure sign of God's presence in the forgiving person. Now, let me expand on this second form of forgiveness. One person forgiving another person. What does forgiveness mean in this context? Every single one of us has experienced being wronged by someone, by our parents, our kids, spouses, co-workers, friends. Forgiveness essentially means letting go of thoughts of resentment, bitterness, and anger. letting go of feelings of resentment, bitterness, and anger. Letting go of the need for vengeance and retribution toward the person who has wronged us. But realistically speaking, forgiveness is very, very difficult for the average person to do, like me. Very difficult. Forgiveness does not come naturally to us. We need to nurture it in our soul and heart. We need to shape up for it. Some people have an easier time than others to forgive. Why? Because they have a mindset that lends itself to forgiveness. I want to share with you a personal observation, and I hope I do not offend many of you. I think it is easier for a typical Christian to forgive than a typical Muslim. And whenever I say that, I get a lot of flack by my fellow Muslims. But I really mean it. I have seen it firsthand. This is my personal observation. I think it is easier for a typical Christian to forgive than a typical Muslim. Why? Why? Partly because Christianity teaches that all men are sinners, not saints. We are all sinners. We all fall short of the mark. We all do wrong, often without even knowing, often without even having a purposeful intent to harm others. But we all do, in one way or another. So let's delve deeper into the concept of sin and its connection with forgiveness. What does sin mean? What does gunah mean? There are multiple terms used in the Holy Quran for sin. For those of you who are into the Holy Quran, there are four primary Arabic words used in the Quran for sin: dhanb, ithm, sayyi'ah, and khati'ah. There are differences between these four words in the Quran. The Quran associates different acts of disobedience to each one of these words. But for the purpose of my talk today, these words, these four words, convey essentially the meaning of sin or gunah. As I often say in my talks, our Islamic discourse is heavily influenced by fiqh or legalism. For this reason, most of us have a legalistic understanding of sin. Most of us tend to limit sin to acts that God has forgiven, such as drinking alcohol, adultery, and backbiting. Now, this is a narrow view of sin. Sin, or gunah, has a broader meaning, particularly in spiritual Islam, in Islamic mysticism. To sin is to err. E-R-R, make a mistake. To sin is to err, to deviate. To sin is to go astray in intention, thought, and action. To sin is to slip and slide. Now, we can go astray morally. We can go astray by making bad judgment calls. And unfortunately, we rarely view sin in this broad scope. Now let's bring in Hafiz. Let's bring in Hafiz to learn from his deeper insight of sin. You see, in the Islamic culture, Hafiz has a unique perspective on sin or gunah. He believes that sin is fundamental to understanding what makes us human. This is very critical. Hafiz says, humans have two unique characteristics. There are two features that separate man or human from other animals. What are those two features? Love and sin. Love and sin are two features, two qualities that are absolutely unique to human. Animals are not capable of love and sin. Angels are not capable of love and sin. Only humans can love and can sin. Hafiz says, think about it. It was sin, gunah, which brought humans to earth. It was sin that brought Adam and Eve on earth to create culture and civilization. If it were not for sin, there would be no religion, no science, no technology. How so? According to the Holy Quran, human history started with two sins. The first sin ever was committed by Satan when he refused to bow to Adam. And the second sin was committed by Adam and Eve when they ate from the forbidden tree. Because of these two sins, humans were expelled from paradise, and the rest is history. Literally history. That's how human history started. If it were not for these two pesky sins, there would be no Jesus, no Muhammad, no Moses. There would be no Rumi, no Shakespeare, no Einstein, no physics, astronomy, poetry. Hafiz asks us to think out of the box. Consider the role of sin in making history. And perhaps more significantly, more importantly, consider how fundamental sin is for being human. To sin is human. It's the human thing to do. Again, remember the broader definition of sin that I shared with you. To err, to deviate. We sin because we are inherently weak. Don't forget, the main topic today is forgiveness. But as I mentioned, forgiveness in our world religions, forgiveness is intimately connected to the concept of sin. We sin because we are inherently weak. We are inherently weak, not just physically, but mentally, intellectually, and emotionally. The Quran is very clear on this. Chapter 4, verse 28. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ زَعِيفًا. Man was created weak. This is what the Quran teaches. Man was created weak. Hafiz truly understood what this verse implies. Since man or human is weak, he can easily go wrong. Now, if this wisdom sinks in, it would make it easier for us to forgive wrongdoers, to forgive those who have hurt us. In our Islamic culture, especially the Shi'i culture, we come down hard on those who commit sin. We come down hard on those who do wrong. Why? Because subconsciously, we expect humans to live like angels, free of sin. That's why we love our imams, our saints so much, because we attribute infallibility to our imams, ismat. Imams don't err. They are immune from error. Not only they don't violate any religious law or moral code, they don't make any errors of judgment. They make no mistakes in any area of life. Hafiz has no patience for infallibility, ismat. To err is human. To err is human. We cannot escape from that because we are inherently weak. As Hafiz says, ما به صد خرمن پندار ز ره چون نرویم چون ره آدم خاکی به یکی دانه زدند. In paradise, Hafiz says, in paradise, the forbidden tree tempted Adam. In paradise, not on earth. In paradise, the forbidden tree tempted Adam. On earth, you and I are submerged in a sea of temptations. Everything in the natural world is tempting. Hafiz says, جایی که برق اسیان بر آدم صفی زد ما را چگونه زیبد دعوی بیگناهی. Adam was so pure that the angels bowed to him. He was under the watchful eyes of God and his angels. Yet, despite all that, Adam slipped. He was tempted. How in the world do you expect an average human being not to slip, not to make bad judgment calls, not to go astray here and there? It is unrealistic. I wish you all had a good command of Farsi language to appreciate the amazing wisdom that Hafiz just shared with us. ما را چگونه زیبد دعوی بیگناهی. It is not nice to pretend that you are free of sin just because you don't drink alcohol or you don't chase your neighbor's wife. A lot of religious folks, let me be as blunt as I can be, a lot of religious folks, particularly the clergy, suffer from this illusion. They are pretentious. They are pretentious. They look down on those who don't pray or fast. They look down on those who drink alcohol. But these pretentious folks have far worse flaws themselves. I think the great Iranian poet and mathematician Omar Khayyam has said it the best. تو قره بدان مشو که می می نخوری صد لقمه خوری که می غلام است آن را. Loose translation of what Khayyam says. Do not be too proud that you don't drink wine. You do awful things that are 100 times worse than drinking wine. Khayyam is spot on. The clergy in Iran today consider wine haram, forbidden. But shedding the blood of unarmed protesters is permitted, is halal. Hafiz was very critical of jurists, fuqaha of his time. Very critical. Hafiz openly mocked them. But Hafiz happened to have an unusual approach in his critique of the jurists. He used irony in his blistering critique. هاتفی از گوشه میخانه دوش گفت ببخشند گناه می بنوش. Last night from the corner of the wine house an invisible messenger spoke, sin they pardon, drink wine. هاتفی از گوشه میخانه دوش گفت ببخشند گناه می بنوش. Here is another punch from Hafiz. میخور به بانگ چنگ و مخور قصه بر کسی گوید تو را که باد مخور گو هو الغفور. To the sound of harp, drink wine and suffer no grief. And if anyone tells you don't drink wine, it is a sin, say to him, God is the forgiver. هو الغفور is a Quranic construct. God is the forgiver. God is the forgiver. Hafiz says, think about it. If it were not for sinners, there would be no forgiving God. The world would never see the forgiving face of God. So in a weird sense, we owe it to the sinners that God reveals himself as forgiver. سهو و خطای بنده گرش اعتبار نیست معنی عفو و رحمت آمرزگار چیست. This is another amazing wisdom from Hafiz. سهو و خطای بنده گرش اعتبار نیست معنی عفو و رحمت آمرزگار چیست. If man was meant to be free of error and negligence, then what would be the meaning of the Lord's pardon and mercy? You see, the God of Hafiz doesn't look even remotely close to the God of jurists. The God of jurists is angry, is harsh, is unforgiving. But the God of Hafiz is full of love and mercy. The God of Hafiz understands what he has created. He created man weak. We humans are weak. We can slip and fall, every single one of us. And that's why God readily shows mercy toward sinners, towards those who fall. His mercy looks for wrongdoers to forgive. Hafiz teaches, لطف خدا بیشتر از جرم ماست. لطف خدا بیشتر از جرم ماست. نکته سربسته چه دانی خموش. Greater than our sin is God's grace. What do you know of these subtle points? Silence. Now let me close my talk with a cautionary note here. Hafiz does not encourage us to commit sin. Hafiz does not encourage us to drink wine or commit adultery. He does not advocate having a lax attitude towards halal and haram, permitted and forbidden. Far from it. Hafiz just invites us to go easy with those who slip and make bad judgments, to go easy on those who fail to live up to our expectations. Hafiz asks us to go easy with those who fall short of the mark. That's the wisdom of Hafez. That's what he's trying to convey to us in his poetry. Even though his tongue and his poetry sometimes may be a bit ironic. If we come to terms with the fact that, as Christians say, we are all sinners, if we accept that each one of us has his own flaws, his own shortcomings, then perhaps we would have empathy toward wrongdoers. We would have empathy toward wrongdoers. Brothers and sisters, we do not live among angels. We live among humans, humans who are structurally weak, who can fall and fail. We are all human, and it is human to err. This awareness will also make us more humble. A lot of times, when we look at somebody who has done a bad thing, our first reaction is, "Oh, how could he? I would never do that." Really? Really? This is pride at its worst. If you and I are desperate, we would resort to cannibalism to survive. So let's stop this nonsense. "Oh, I would never do that." Yes, believe me, we would always do that. When you see a person that in your judgment has failed, don't be hard on him. Instead, be thankful. Be thankful that God has spared you from that experience. Each one of us, each one of us is just a breath away from failing and sliding, in spite of our faith. If we absorb this wisdom, we will never boast, we will never have pride, we will be humble. We've run out of time and I have to stop right here. Inshallah, next time I will continue my talk on forgiveness and share with you some practical applications of forgiveness for our daily lives. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.